Avodah Zarah, Daf Zayin, and we will begin on Daf Vav Amud Beis, four lines from the bottom. Masnisin Zloikar Vishubin Karcha. We had learned in the Mishnah and in the previous Shir, a machlaikas of Rabbi Huda and Rabbanan, if before the holidays of the Akum, one may receive payment from the Akum for debts that they owe us. The opinion of the Rabbanan was that one may not receive such payment, whereas the opinion of Rabbi Huda was that one may receive such payment. Says the Gemara, Masnisin, our Mishnah, the two opinions cited in our Mishnah, the opinion that we just quoted of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan, is not consistent with the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda ben Karcha. The Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda ben Karcha Omer, Rabbi Yehuda ben Karcha's opinion is, Malva Bishtar, a loan that's recorded in a document, Ein Nefromahen, we may not receive payment from them before the holidays. Malva peh, but something which is only a milva peh, the halacha is nefromahen, we may receive payment from them. And the reason is because a milva bishtar, since it's easier to collect payment on a milva bishtar, that's why Rabbi Yehuda ben Karcha says such payment should not be received from them. However, a milva peh, which is difficult to collect, so we have a concept of Rehu Kamatzel Miyadab. It's considered, any money that we receive is something considered that it's something that we were lucky to receive. And since it's considered that we're lucky to receive, that's why Chazal say that we're allowed to, even though it's before the holiday, we may receive such a payment. Says the Gemara, Yosser of Yosef Achur Derbaba. Rav Yosef was sitting behind Rav Abba. The Yosef of Abba Kamed Rav Huna. Rav Abba was sitting in front of Rav Huma. The Yosef of Ka'amar. And he was sitting and he was saying, Hilchasa Kribishuba Karcha. The Halacha follows the opinion of Yishuba Karcha. The Hilchasa and the Halacha also follows Krib Yehuda. A psak that Rav Yehuda said, a machloikis of Ramei and Rav Yehuda. What Hilchasa Krib Yishua? When Rav Huna says, the Halacha is like Rav Yishuba Karcha, Hada Marin. It refers to what we just learned, that we paskin that there's a difference between in collection of a milva alpeh versus a milva b'ksav. Rav Yehuda, when you say that the halacha is like Rav Yehuda, regarding what issue is that? The Tanan. We learned in the Mishnah, in Masecht Baba Kama, Hanoisin Semel Atzaba, if somebody gives wool to a dyer, and the instructions he gave him were letzvoy le'edem, to dye the wool red, v'tzavei shachar, and he dyed the wool black instead, or shachar, he told him to dye it black, v'tzavei edem, and he dyed the wool red. Remeya says, noisen l'demet zemrei, the person, this tzaba, all he has to do is just give back the owner of the wool the value of the wool, because as the Torah teaches us, if someone steals something from someone else, the Torah teaches us, v'heshiv es egzeila ashegozal. And the Gemara says that the word ashegozal comes to teach us that only if the item stolen is in the same shape and form it was when it was stolen, is there an obligation to return that item. But if the item is no longer that way, there is no longer an obligation to steal it. Why? Because the ganif, the person who stole it, the gazlan, is koine it, becomes the owner of the item, bishinui, the fact that it's no longer the same item. That's why he no longer has the obligation to return the actual item that was stolen. And all that has to be done is that he has to give back the value of what he stole. That is the opinion of Remeya. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, we make the foul. Of course, and according to Remeya, if the owner of the wool, say to Rishonim, is going to want his item back, his actual item back. He's entitled to get it. The tzaba has no right to say that I'm not giving it back to you. He's going to have to return it, but he's going to have, the owner of the wool is going to have to pay the entire full value of what that item is now worth, even though his instructions were not followed. Rabbi Huda says we have to do the following analysis. Im hashevach yosal yitziyah, if the value of the wool with its new color is more than the expense involved in getting it to this, that means the cost of the labor and the materials in dyeing the wool are not as much as the value of the wool now with its new color is, all he has to give him is noisin layasiyatsiya. All he has to do is reimburse the dyer for his expenses in coloring the wool, and then he gets back his wool. V'im hayitziya yasal shavach, if the expense was more than the increase in value, nice shavach, he only gives the tzaba the increased value of the wool, and he takes back his wool. Machloikas rishonim. Why is so the halacha? Why is this Rabbi Huda's opinion? Some Rishonim say that the basis of Rabbi Huda's opinion is because Rabbi Huda does not feel that this is considered enough of a shinui. The fact that he deviated, that the tzaba deviated from the instructions given, does not make it into being enough of a shinui that he should become the owner of the item, and therefore he gives back the item as it is. Just he has to be reimbursed, and again, the reimbursement is the minimal reimbursement required. That's one way of understanding the Gemara. However, I did see that there are Rishonim that have a different approach in understanding Rabbi Huda's opinion. They say that Rabbi Huda is in agreement with the Rabbanon, with Rameya, that what really should be here is that since he made the shinui, it should become completely, since a shinui was made here, it should become completely the property of the tzaba. However, Chazal made a knas, that here we have a situation that because the person deviated from the instructions given to him, he ends up benefiting. Chazal did not want to tolerate such a situation, and that's why Chazal instituted that he should just be reimbursed the minimal amount, and then the rest be given back to the owner, to the true owner. Furthermore, I saw the Paiskim indicate that this entire halacha only applies, say the Paiskim, in a situation where there's a private individual is giving something to someone to dye, and he wants, I have a piece of wool and I want it colored black. I have no use for it when it's colored red. I won't wear a red suit. That's why this halacha will apply. But in a situation where it's a professional giving it to someone else, where it's a businessman giving wool to be colored, so even though his preference would have been that it should be colored whatever color he asked for, still, the fact that his instructions weren't followed is not that significant, is not as significant of a deviation, because he could always still use it. He could always still use it in selling in a store, and there won't be any question that it's not considered a situation where the item becomes the property of the gazlan. Says the Gemara, as Rav Huna said this ruling, Ahedrina Yosef Lape. Reb Yosef turned around as if he was dissatisfied with what Rav Huna said. Says the Gemara, Bishlama, because Reb Yosef was saying as follows, Bishlama alok Reb Yishu Mekarcha, this that you Rav Huna have said, that the halacha follows Reb Yishu Mekarcha, Itztrich, is a very important statement that you're making. Since we might have thought that there's a rule throughout Shas of Yochid Rab Malach Rabim. We always follow the majority opinion, and therefore, as we said at the beginning of our shir, the Rabbanon disagree with Reb Shuma Karcha. According to Rabbanon, one may never receive payment from Akum before the holidays. That's why we needed Rav Huna to teach us. We needed us to teach us the halachas kiyachid, that when the opinion cited by Yochid makes most sense, we follow that opinion under all circumstances. Elo halach Rav Yehuda. What bothered Rav Yossi was what Rav Huna said. Halach Rav Yehuda lamli. Why did he have to say that the halach is like Rav Yehuda? Isn't this pshita? It should certainly follow. That is certainly the case that we follow the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, because this is a case, as the Gemara is going to explain in a moment, a machloikis vachkach stam. That first we have a machloikis cited in the Mishnah, and then we have the machloikis that we have here, the machloikis of Rabbi and Rabbi Yehuda, and then we have a stam that follows the opinion of Rav Yehuda, and there's a cloud throughout Shas that the machloikis v'achach stam, the first one we have a machloikis cited, and then a stam, that we always follow the stam. And therefore the problem, the issue here, why Rabbi Yosef was unhappy with, was why you have to tell us that the halachas of Yehuda, if this is a situation, machloikis v'achach stam, certainly so should we pass it. So, the Rajva asks a Gvaldiga Kasha, that throughout Shas we find that there's a rule of Halachic Stam Mishnah, that we follow Stam Mishnah. That, however, asks the Rajba, just because we follow a Stam Mishnah, we don't find that every time the Gemara paskins like a Stam Mishnah, does the Gemara ask, of course we should paskin that way, isn't it a Stam Mishnah? Why over here is the Gemara particularly troubled, or particularly pointing out the fact that it's a Stam Mishnah? So I saw that the Rajba says a beautiful pshat. He says the rule that halachic Stam Mishnah is not as strong of a rule as the rule that was saying that we found that the halacha is like a machloikis vachakach stam. And he explains why. He says a machloikis vachakach stam, halacha stam Mishnah means that Rebbe cited the Mishnah anonymously. And the fact the Rebbe cited the Mishnah anonymously is very much an indication that that should be the halacha. But it isn't a final indication. However, when we have a machloikis vachkach stam, that means what happened here was that Rebbe cited both opinions, and after Rebbe citing both opinions, he obviously analyzed both opinions and came to the conclusion that one opinion is stronger than the other. Like in our case, he cited both the opinion of Ramey and Rabbi Yehuda, and he came to the conclusion that clearly the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda is the proper opinion. That is an extremely powerful rule. And since it's an extremely powerful rule, that is what the halach ought to be like. And there's no need, therefore, he says, for Rabbi Yehuda, for Rav Huna to say that the halacha follows the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. So now the Gemara points out, where do we see that this is indeed a situation of a machloikis vachach stam? Because says the Gemara, machloikis mabam kama, we have this machloikis of Ramey and Rabbi Yehuda cited in Masecht mabam kama, and stam, and we have a stam Mishnah in Baba Metzia. Baba Metzia we know follows Baba Kama, the Tanan, because the Stam Mishnah says in Masecht Baba Metzia, Kala Mishana, whoever deviates from the assignment, like in our Gemara, where he was supposed to color it one color and he did a different color, the Kala Mishana, Yada Tachtonai, whoever deviates has the weaker hand, the Kala Chayzabai, and whoever retracts from a deal, Yada Tachtonai. That's referring to a situation where somebody gave a deposit for a piece of property, and either the buyer or the seller back out of the deal. And the machlokes, and the question is that whoever is the one that backed out of the deal is the one that has the weaker hand, and how to collect back or give back the deposit. So since we have, says Rev Yosef, a Stam Mishnah after machlokes like Rev Yehuda, clearly so is the halacha. Rev Huna, how does Rav Huna, indeed, why, if so, it's obvious that halacha is like Rav Yehuda. So why did Rav Huna have to make that point? Answers the Gemara, Mishum the Ain't Say the Mishnah. Rav Huna is of the opinion, the fact that we have this mentioned in the Mishnayis doesn't mean anything, because the order of the Mishnayis is not necessarily precise. And therefore, Ikla Meimer, we could always say that perhaps Sosum Tana Bereisha, maybe the Stam was first, Vachach Machloikis. And certainly, if we're saying Machloikis V'achach Stam, we passing like the Stam, Stam V'achach Machloikis, then of course we don't follow that Stam Mishnah. Ask the Gemara, if we're saying that Rav Huna is of the opinion that there is no, that we can't specifically follow the order of the Mishnayis, wherever we'll have in Shas a machloikis vach kach stam, we should say ain't say the Mishnah. We should say that it shouldn't be followed because the order of Mishnayis is not precise. Answers the Gemara, Rav Huna, ki lo yaminin ain't say the b'chadim sechta betray sechta minin, which means as follows. Rav Huna says, certainly in one Masechta, the order is precise. And therefore, if we have in one Masechta, a Machloikis Vach Kach Stam, that clearly is considered something to be followed, Lahalacha. And we go back to what we quoted the Rajba earlier, it's one of the strongest rules in how to pass in a Shaila. However, when it's in two Masechtas, there, the fact that we have a machloikis vach kach stam, even though one mesechta was mentioned before the other mesechta, doesn't mean anything. For as the Mefarshim explained, even though there clearly is an order to the mesechtas, the order that we have in the mesechtas is not necessarily an order that was followed in the way that they learned. Because as the Mefarshim explained, and is quite common nowadays, not maybe by those that learned Daf Yomi, but by others, they didn't necessarily follow the order of Shas in learning the Masechtas that they learned. And therefore, the fact that we find something in one Masechta and another Masechta, a Machloikis one Masechta, and a following Masechta has a Stam, doesn't mean that it's a Machloikis V'achach Stam. So obviously, ask the Gemara, now we really need to understand Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef said, certainly we follow the Mishnah in Masechta Bava Metzia, because the Mishnah in Masechta Bava Metzia follows the Mishnah in Masechta Bava Kama. But now we just had Rav Huna teach us that if it's two different Masechtas, we can't specifically follow the order. Answers Rav Huna, Kul Nezikin, all of Nezikin Chad Masechta Hi. Most Mefarshim explain that what Rav Huna means to say, that the three Babas, Baba Kama, Baba Metzia, and Baba Basra, are all considered one Masechta. And since they're all considered one Masechta, then it's like, then the order that we follow is obviously extremely precise. Other Mefarshim I saw say that it doesn't mean the order in one Masechta, all three, not just all three Babas, Baba Kama, Baba Metzia, and Baba Basra, but it means actually, as the wording of the Gemara says, all through all of Seder Nezikin, that even though throughout Shas and in other Sedarim of Shas, the order of the Masechtas are not specific, are not necessarily specific, here the order of the Masechta is extreme, and the three Babas, the order of the Masechta is extremely specific. Vivai Seima, another reason why Rav Huna, why Rav Yosef was dissatisfied with Rav Huna's telling us that the halacha is like Rav Yehuda, it was obvious. It's obvious that we should follow the psak offered in that Mishnah Masechta Metzia, Because the Mishnah Masechta B'Metzia, as we quoted earlier, says, "Kol Mishana Yodel Tachtoni V'Kol Achoyzu Ba Yodel Tachtoni." Whoever deviates or reneges. So, as the Mefarshim explained, the subject under discussion over there is indeed the question of Kol Achoyzu Ba, if somebody backs out. But that halacha, and therefore that halacha is mentioned there. But the halacha of Kol HaMishana, which is the subject of the Machlokes of Ramei and Rabbi Yehuda actually, is not really the subject of the issue discussed in Masechta Bava Metzia. So the question is, why is it mentioned there? The fact that it's mentioned there is because the Mishnah is mentioning definitive halachas. And therefore we understand that this is a definitive halacha, that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, that Kol HaChoyzu Ba Yodel Tachtoinim. So since the Gemara here has mentioned the opinion of Rabbi Shu ben Karcha, the Gemara brings down other subjects where the opinion of Rabbi Shu ben Karcha is cited. The halacha is, the pasuk says, regarding Shabbos, Mim Cheftzcha V'Daber Dover. And that comes to teach us, Shlo Yidiburcha Shel Shabbos Ki Diburcha Shel Chol. Your speaking on Shabbos should not be the same way as you speak during the week. And therefore, Shabbos, one may not even speak about business affairs. Hearer, thinking about business affairs, is permitted. So says the Braisa, the opinion of the Rabbanan is, Lo yayma adam l'chaveroi, hanira shetamen imi l'erev. A person wants to hire someone else to work for him. It is improper that he say to this prospective employee, perhaps you'll meet me tonight, and it's obvious what he's trying to say to him is, and that you'll accept employment by me. Rav Shu ben Karcha, however, is of the opinion, Oima Adam L'Chaveroi, someone could say to someone else, Hanira Shetamen Imi L'Erev, by using this roundabout wording, perhaps you'll join me tonight. So since he's not explicitly hiring him to work for him, that's why it's permitted. It, as the Rishonim explained, remains in the category of, it remains in the category of hearer, which we just explained a moment ago, is permissible on Shabbos. Amar Rabbi B'Bachana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, the halacha is like Rabbi Shu ben Karcha. However, I did see a machlokes Rishonim, that there are some Rishonim that want to differentiate between Yisrael and Akum. And they say that even though by a Yisrael, the halacha is like Rav Shuma Karcha, that if somebody says to a prospective employee, Hanira Shetamri Imi L'Erev, it's permitted. When one is talking to an Akum, there it's much more obvious that he's coming to hire him. And as we said, V'Dabe Dover, we may not do so on Shabbos, and that would be Aser. There are other Rishonim, the Tosfos and other Rishonim disagree, and they feel that since this is not a prohibited wording, it's mutter to hire even an akum under such circumstances. Continues the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan, Hanishal l'chokam v'timei. If somebody came to a rav to with a shayla, and the rav said something was tamei, lo yishal l'chokam v'yatar, he may not go to another rav to ask to get it tahor. L'chokam v'asar, he went to a rav and the rav said something was asar. He may not go to Rav to permit it. And there's a fundamental machloikis rishonim as to understand the Gemara and understanding this Gemara. Some rishonim are of the opinion that the basis of this Gemara is because kavod harabonis. If you went to one Rav, you may not go to a second Rav because it shows lack of respect. Another line of reasoning and understanding the Gemara is because of concept of Shavya Nafshe Chaticha de Sura. Once a Rav said something is Asur, halachically that becomes a prohibited item, and now it can no longer become permitted. What are the nafkaminas between these two approaches? There are a number of nafkamina. One nafkamina is, if somebody did go to second Rav, what would be the halacha? If the issue is kavod harabonis, so he did the wrong thing by going to the second Rav, but if he did, and the second Rav passed him differently, perhaps he may follow that psak. If the issue, however, is shavya nafshe chaticha de yisura, that this item became prohibited, then it can never become permitted. Another nafkamina is where the first rav said it was mutter. So if the issue is kavod harabonis, it makes no difference what the psak of the first rav was. Kavod harabonis dictates that you can't go to a second rav. But if the issue, however, is an issue of shavya nafshe chaticha de yisura, shavya nafshe chaticha de yisura doesn't apply if the first rav said it's mutter. A third nafkamina is if the rav who paskened wants to change his mind. If he himself wants to change his mind, if the issue is kavod harabonis, so it's my kavod itself, I'm prepared to change my mind, so obviously kavod harabonis is not the concern. If, however, the issue is shavya nafshe chaticha de yisura, so once I paskin that this piece of meat is not kosher, shavya nafshe chaticha de yisura says that this meat is not kosher, and I can't change that psak. It's interesting to note that Tosfos points out, and that is the halacha, that only if the second rav wasn't told about what happened with the first rav. But if the second rav was told about the first rav's psak, according to Tosfos, other Pesachim disagree, you can go. Another psak that almost everybody agrees is that even though we're saying that once a shiloh was passed by the first rav, you shouldn't go to the second rav, that's only about this specific situation. But if there's going to be another situation as similar as it is to the first situation, but it's not that exact same piece of meat that is under discussion, there the halacha is you could go to second rav. Furthermore, there are paiskim that say that this entire discussion is, as is implicit in the words that the Gemara teaches us, is a situation of tumah v'tahara, kosher and treif. But if it's a situation regarding dinei mamonis, a question of who is the true owner of money, there you may go to a second rav. Another point that the paiskim made, that this discussion is only if the disagreement between the rabbanim, or perhaps the mistake that was made by the first rav, involves something shikul adas, his logic. So the first rav might have made a mistake in logic, but we have to follow that psak. But if the first rav's mistake was tabed var mishnah, he paskin against a mishnah, and as the Mefarshim point out, it doesn't mean specifically a mishnah. It could also include anything which is established precedent in halacha, and he for whatever reason made an error and went against established precedent or an established halacha. Their halacha is that the second rav could change the psak. Hayushnayim now continues the Braisa in teaching us that we have two rabbonim sitting together. Echad metame vechad metar. One says that something is tame, one says something is tar. Echad oisa vechad matar. One says it's os and the other one says it's mutar. So it says the Braisa, im haya echad mehem gol mechaver b'chachma minyan. If one is greater than the other because he's a bigger talmid chacham, or minyan, there's a machloikis, what does minyan mean? Some say minyan means that he has more talmidim. Others say that minyan means that he spent more years learning than halach achrav. Then we should go after the one that's gadol b'chachma b'minyan. What will be the halacha, says the Shach, when one is gadol b'minyan and one is gadol b'chachma? Says the Shach, we should go after the one who's gadol b'minyan. Vimlav, but if these two talmidei chachamim are equal, halach achra machma, we follow the machma. Says Rishu Ben Kocha Aymer, Bishal Taira, if the question here is a question of a Doraisa, there Halach Acha Machmer, we go after the Machmer. However, if the issue here is Bishal Seifrim, a question of the Rabbanon, Halach Acha Mekel, and on this comments Rabbi Yosef, Hilchasuk Rabbi Shua Ben Karcha. Tan Rabbanon continues the Gemara with another subject. Again, where Rabbi Shua Ben Karcha's opinion is cited. The Kulin Shechazr Behen. Says Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos, how to understand the situation of our Gemara. Rashi says that the Gemara here is referring that we know that Amei Oritz are not trusted in different areas of Halacha. Amei Oritz are not trusted when it comes to saying edus to saying testimony. Ami oritz are not trusted for trumas and maisris. Says the Gemara, if the Ami oritz was chayzer, if the Ami oritz does tshuva, v'kulan shechazer behen, if the Ami oritz does tshuva, ein mekablon oisam oilam es divrei Rameya. Rameya's opinion is we still don't accept their testimony, we don't accept their trustworthiness. Taisus and other Rishonim take issue with Rashi's Pshat because they find it difficult to understand the opinion of Rameya, that Rameya is saying that a person, even being an Amoritz, does not have the opportunity to do tshuva. And therefore, they explain that the Gemara here is referring to a situation where there was an individual who was an Amoritz, supposedly did tshuva, and then after doing tshuva, we find that he again is acting improperly. So we see that his previous tshuva was insincere, and that's why Rameya says regarding such an individual that we don't accept his tshuva. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Chazba Mimetmani is, if they did tshuva privately, Eimer Kablon, so we won't accept them. But for Esi, but if they did the tshuva in public, Mekablon, I say. Ikadamri, a different version of what Rabbi Yehuda said. Also, Devrei Mimetmani is, if they acted improperly, only privately, and then they do tshuva, Mekablon, I say, we accept their tshuva. But for Esi, but if they acted improperly in public, then Eimer Kablon, I say, we don't accept their tshuva. Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yehoshua ben Karcha Aimer, Ben Kach Mekablon. Under all circumstances, we accept the tshuva. Shneimer, as the pasuk says, Shuva Banim Shavivim. Hakadosh Baruch Hu is always prepared to accept our tshuva. And in that, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Ish Kfar Akko, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Halacha Kaisazog, the halacha follows that opinion. In fact, the Medrash, the Gemara brings down that B'chol Yoyim V'Yoyim, Baskol Yoytzes Me'ar Sinai Machrezes. Every day there's a baskol that emanates from Har Sinai and announces, Shuvu Bonim Shavivim, we all have the opportunity to do tshuva. So I saw that the Kedushas Levi asks in the name of the Baal Shem. Here the Gemara is saying that every day there's such a baskol. But the question is, what is the point of that baskol if no one hears the baskol? Says the Kedushas Levi, that even though we may not explicitly hear that baskol, but we all have moments in our life, says the Kedushas Halevi, that we have an esiris, we have an awakening that we want to do tshuva. He says those moments in life come from that baskol, that maybe we don't hear it, but our neshamas hear that baskol. And therefore, says the Kedushas Halevi, if somebody indeed has such a moment of esiris, it's important that he sees that moment and use that moment to grow and do tshuva. I saw from the Degel Mach Nafrayim, he says a very nice marshal in understanding this baskol. He says, with a marshal, there was once a father and a son traveling, and they came to this beautiful forest. And the son turns around to the father and says, you know, I'd like to spend some time in this forest. And the father says, I really don't have time to stay here. I want to travel on. But what we can do is as follows. I'll travel slowly, and you spend your time in this forest. And then when you finish, you can catch up to me fairly easily. And that's what they did. And then the son got lost in the forest, and the father and the son are separated from each other. And now it's the father crying out to the son, where are you that we got so far separated? The son, however, because he's so distant from the father, is unable to hear the voice of his father. So too says the Degel Mach Nafrayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls out to us, Shuva Banim Shavivim, that we should of course do tshuva. And it's us who, because of our actions, are unfortunately so far from Hashem that we don't hear Hashem's call to us, crying out to us, come back to me. Says the Mishnah, Rav Shmuel Omer, Shloish Lefneyan, we spoke in the first Mishnah, the Masechta, about the rule that Chazal instituted about doing business with the Akum before the holidays. Rav Shmuel goes even further. He says, Shlosh Lefneim, 3 days before the holidays, Vishlosh Lachreim, 3 days after the holidays, Osir, one may not do business dealings with them. Vacham Maimrim, Lefnei Deim Osir, before the holidays, it's Osir, Lachai Deim Mutter, and we're going to discuss at great length the opinion of the Chum in the Gemara. Omer of Tachlifa by Avdimi Amishmul, and we discussed this in the previous year. Yoim Rishon Ladivrei Vishmol Loyal Moser. If Sunday is considered a holiday of the Akum, and we have the opinion of Rav Shmuel, one will never be able to do business with the Akum, because Sunday is the holiday, and as we discussed in the previous year, on the actual day of the holiday, certainly one may not do business with them. 3 days before a Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, 3 days after a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and one will never be able to do business with them. The Chum, as we just said, the Chum opinion is, Lifnei Adem Osir, before the holiday one may not do business with them, Lach Adem Mutter, after the holiday one may. Ask the Gemara, Chachamim Hainatanakama, what is the difference between the opinion of the Chachamim and the Tanakama? The Tanakama, at the beginning of Amasechta, said the exact same thing, that before the holiday it's permitted, and after the holiday it's Osir. Answers the Gemara, the question is, as we discussed in the previous year, when we speak about the days, is the day of the holiday included or not? The opinion, Tanakama Sover, Tanakama holds, the 3 days, or speaking about the 3 days themselves, without the holiday. So we really have a total of 4 days. Rabbanan Basroi Savri, but the Rabbanan of our Mishnah of the opinion, Hain V'Yedeim, it's the holiday is included in the days that one may not do business with them. So we have a total only of 3 days. Ibai Seima, another Nafkamina, will be Nosav and Nosan Ikvenayu. If one did do business with them, what will be the halacha? Tanakama Sova, the Tanakama will be of the opinion, Nosav and Nosan, if one did business with them, he shouldn't have, but if he did mutter, he may benefit from it. Rabbanan Basroi Sova, whereas the Rabbanan of Amishnah of the opinion, Nosav and Nosan, if he did business with them, also the benefit is forbidden. Why are we attributing the opinions that way? So the Rishonim explain, and this pshat will be relevant as we go further in the Gemara. The Rishonim explain, because throughout Shas, whenever we have opinion of two Tanom, and we don't know who is the Machmer and who is the Mekel, we always assume that it's the second Tana who is the Machmer. Another way of explaining the Machloikis is the Shmuel Kvinayu. They're arguing over what Shmuel said. Dom Shmuel, the Goyla Eina Asa El Yoim Edom. That Shmuel said in Golus, in Chutz Laretz, only the day of their holiday it's Osir. And there are many reasons given in explaining Shmuel. One explanation is, because Shmuel is of the opinion that the Akum in Chutz Laretz are not really Ovdei Avodah Zarah. They're not really people who worship Avodah Zarah. It's only Minig Avaseim B'Yadeim. It's only, they're doing it out of habit, they're not doing it out of real religious purposes. Another pshat is that in Chutz Laretz, since we live amongst the Akum, it's difficult to avoid doing business with them. A third pshat is that in Chutz Laretz, we live in fear of the Akum. It's a concept of Eva that we discussed already at the beginning of Masechta. And because there's a concept of Eva, we have to be, we can't be so stringent, and only the day of the holiday is Asur. And therefore, says the Gemara, in suggesting the explanation of the machloks of the Tanakama, the Rabbanan, in our Mishnah, Tanakama is Lei Shmuel. The Tanakama agrees with the opinion of Shmuel, and therefore is more lenient in Chutz Laretz. Rabbanan, Basroi, less Lei Shmuel. Again, consistent with what we just said a moment ago, the later Tana is always the bigger Machmer. Ibai Seima, another explanation in explaining the machloks of the Tanakama and the Chacham of our Mishnah, the Nochem HaModi Ikmenayu, what Nochem HaModi said. The Tanya, Nochem HaModi Oimer, Eina Osir El Yom Echel Lefnei HaDovim. El Yom Echel Lefnei Deim. Only 1 day before the holiday is Osir. Tanakama, clearly less late than Nochem HaModi, because the Tanakhama says 3 days, not 1 day. Rabbanan Basroi, the Rabbanan of our Mishnah, however, is late than Nochem HaModi, do agree with Nochem HaModi's opinion, and they say Lefneim meaning only 1 day. Gufa, says the Gemara, Nochem HaModi Omer, Eina Osa El Yom Ech Lefnei Adem. When Chazal said one may not do business with them, it's only 1 day before their holiday. Arvloi, say the Chachamim, Nishtaka Adav Vloi Nama. We should delete what Nochem HaModi said. We should certainly not agree with it. Ask the Gemara, Vik Rabbanan Basroi, the Kamek of Asayu, don't we have the Rabbanan of our Mishnah that we just explained agree with Nochem HaModi? Answers the Gemara, Man Chachamim, who are the Chachamim of our Mishnah? Nochem HaModi. And we're saying that we don't agree with Nochem HaModi. Tanya Idach, but we learned in another Braisa, Nochem HaModi Amar, Marchalam Sus Socher, Vizakim HaMelchama. We're going to learn later in our Masechta that Chazal said one may not sell animals to the Akum. The reason one may not sell animals to the Akum is because we're concerned that if we're going to sell them animals, we may come to lend or rent them our animals, and they're going to work with those animals on Shabbos, and Jewish-owned animals may not be worked with on Shabbos. Da'alokha shvisas behemta. Nochem HaModi says that a horse that is not used for work, a horse is only used for riding, and by riding there's a concept of chai noisitz atzma. If it's an old male horse in wartime, there's no reason to make a gzeir in its mutter. And therefore says the Braisa, Nochem HaModi Omer, Marchalam Sus Zocher V'Zokim V'Mulchama. Omer like said, he said, Shtaka Adav Loi Nemar. Ask the Gemara, why are we so quick to disregard Nochem HaModi? V'ikah ben b'seira, the Kaik of Asay, ben b'seira agrees with Nochem HaModi, the Tan, ben b'seira matav asus, ben b'seira says you're allowed to sell them a horse. Answers the Gemara, ben b'seira and Nochem HaModi are not saying the same thing. Ben b'seira, le'mafog ben zecharam le'nekevus. Ben b'seira doesn't differentiate between males and females. He doesn't agree with what the Chum said about not being allowed to sell them animals. Iu, however, ben Nochem HaModi, he, midakam maflik ben zecharam le'nekevus, since he does differentiate between male and female animals, it's obvious that Rabbanan sfirulei, that he does agree with Rabbanan. And Rabbanan, if we're going to follow the opinion of Rabbanan, nishtaka adav v'loi nemar, no animal may be sold to them. Tanya, we learned in another braisa, Nochem HaModi Omer, hasheves, dil, misaser, one has to take off meiser from it, whether it was harvested zera as a seed, yerek as a vegetable, or zirim when there's still only shoots. And under all circumstances, since it's one eats these, could eat this dill in one of these forms, therefore it's considered a full-fledged vegetable, and there's a chiv, or be it midrabanon, to take off meisers. Armeloi, nishtaka davloi nemer. The Chazal say that only the seed is subject to meiser, because they are the primary product of the dill, not the stems nor the greens. Unless, as the Rambam says, the dill was planted specifically for the stems or the greens. Vikar Abelazar, the Kaikava, say, ask them why we're so quick to eliminate what Nochem HaModi said. Doesn't Rabbi Elazar agree with him? The Tan Rabbi Elazar Omer Hasheves Misaser Zera V'Yerek V'Zirim. Answers the Gemara Hasam B'Gernisei. The Mishnah there is dealing with dill cultivated in a garden. Since when it's cultivated in a garden, it's planted for all three of those purposes. And as I just said, everybody is in agreement that then you have to take off Meiser. Al Gemara is referring to a situation where it wasn't planted specifically in a garden for all purposes, and there the halacha will not be like Nochem HaModi, and only the seed meiser is taken off from, nothing else.